I want you to listen carefully to the title of my message today. I'm going to speak to you on the subject, are you willing to be saved? Are you willing to be saved? Now, don't answer the question quickly. Wait till I finish the message, and after I complete the message, then answer the question, are you willing to be saved? Now, we're going to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 7, the 7th chapter of John, and I'll be reading 4 or 5 verses, beginning with verse 14, John chapter 7, verse 14. Why don't you get a Bible and see what our Lord has to say here in John 7, verse 14. Now, here it is. Listen. Now, about the midst or the middle of the feast, this was an 8-day feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And about the middle of the feast, that is on the 4th or 5th day, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now, all the religious people from that area had gathered in Jerusalem for this Feast of the Tabernacles. And our Lord attended the feast. He went up about the middle of the feast. And he went to the temple. And there he preached to many people. Now, we're not told what his subject was on this occasion. But I'm sure, as always, that our Lord expounded the Old Testament scriptures. And I believe he probably told them the true meaning of this Feast of the Tabernacles, because he is the fulfillment of the Feast of the Tabernacles. But anyway, in the next verse, now listen to the next verse. He began to teach. He went to the temple and began to teach these people, preach to them. And the Jews, that is, all these religious folks and their leaders, marveled. They were astonished at his words. They were astonished. You know, one of them said one time, no man spake like this man. And they said this, how does this man know so much? How does he know learning? How does he know letters, having never learned? That is, he never attended our schools. He never studied under our supervision. He never sat at the feet of our recognized teachers. How does this man know what he knows, having never attended our schools? And the Lord Jesus answered them. Now look at the next verse, verse 16. And the Lord Jesus answered them, and he said to them, my doctrine is not mine. That is, he's saying, my doctrine is not of man, because he was at that time in the flesh. He was a man, the Son of Man. So he said, my doctrine is not of man, nor is it learned from man. My doctrine is the word of my Father, which has sent me into the world. My doctrine is not of man. You don't learn it in school. You don't learn it from your supervisors and your professors. My doctrine's not from man. It's not of man. It's not about man. And my doctrine is the doctrine of my Father, which sent me. And listen to this statement. Now listen carefully. And he said, if any man will do his will, that is, if any man really desires to know God's will, who really desires to know God's message and God's way. If any man really wills to know God's will, he'll know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it be of man. Now, my friends, the doctrine of salvation, the way of eternal life, is not of man, nor is it revealed by men, nor did it come from men. The doctrine of salvation, of eternal life, is of God. It's planned by God. It's purposed by God. It's taught by God. It's revealed in the heart by the Spirit of God. And if any man, this is what our Lord said, if any man really desires to know the truth of God, the truth of the mysteries of God, if any man truly wills to know and do the work of God and the will of God, if he really wills to, desires to, he'll know the doctrine. God will teach him. You see, John 6, 44, 45 says this. You're familiar with this scripture. Our Lord said, no man no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. It is written in the prophets. This is what's written throughout the Old Testament scriptures by the prophets of old. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. They said of our Lord, when they heard him speak, they said, how does this man know learning? How does he know these doctrines, having never learned, having never been taught, having never been to our schools? You don't learn this in our schools. Christ said, and they shall be taught of God, and every man that hath heard and learned of the Father, from the Father, he cometh unto me. I constantly hear people say this, and you may have heard people say this. Oh, there's so many preachers today, and there's so many denominations, and there's so many different doctrines. I just don't know what or whom to believe. You ever said that? Oh, so many preachers and denominations and so many different doctrines. I don't know whom to believe. And then I hear people say this, well, I read the Bible, preacher. I pick it up every once in a while, and I try to read the Bible, but it's just so difficult to understand. And all the different denominations and television programs and preachers all trying to prove what they believe by the Bible. And they can be miles and poles apart, but they still try to prove it by the Bible. My friends, listen to me just a moment. Here's the problem. Our Lord gives it right here to the people in the temple that day. Here's the problem. Two things. You see, he says, my doctrine is not of man. It's not of man nor from man. The doctrine of God, the doctrine of eternal life, is not of man. We've got to quit following men. We've got to quit listening to the wisdom and arguments of men. We're going to have to start listening to God. See, your faith must not stand in the wisdom of men. Doesn't matter how wise they may seem, but your faith, Paul said, must stand in the power of God. This is one of the things he said in 1 Corinthians. He said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to you with eloquence of speech. I came to you with the simple, plain gospel of God, the Word of God, that your faith should not stand in my wisdom or any other man's wisdom, but in the power of God. And that's our problem. We're following men. We're listening to men. We're debating with human beings. And the gospel of God, he says plainly, is not of man. Even Paul said that in Galatians 1. He said, I didn't receive my gospel from men or of men. I was taught the gospel by the revelation of the Son of God. If my voice or any other man's voice is the only voice you hear, and I'm not talking about hearing funny voices in the air, I'm talking about hearing God speak from heaven through His Word. If my voice or the voice of any man is the only voice you hear, nothing of any consequence will be accomplished. You've got to hear Him speak who speaks through His Word. He is the Word of God. You see, the gospel's not revealed by men. It's not explained by men. It's God's gospel, and it's revealed by God. Christ said, my doctrine is not of man. My doctrine is the doctrine of my Father who sent me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. So here are these two things. Now, I said this. Here's the problem. People say, I don't understand the Bible. There's so many denominations. Here's the problem. Number one, we've got to understand this. Let this be established. Our gospel is not of man. It's not what this man says or that man says or the other man says. What does God say? And here's the second problem. Besides knowing that salvation and eternal life in Christ is only revealed by God and taught by God, there's got to be a willingness to be taught. There's got to be a willingness and a desire to know what God has to say about Himself. We can't be content with our traditions and content with our customs and ceremonies. We've got to have that deep personal desire to know what God says. So there's the great problem. It doesn't matter how many denominations or doctrines or preachers or programs or whatever there are in this world. It doesn't matter how much people are differing. We're not listening to people anyway. We're not following people anyway. We're not being taught of men anyway. Our doctrine is not ours. It's God's doctrine, God's word, God's gospel, God's truth. It's taught by God. It's revealed by God. It's revealed by the Spirit of God. But it's revealed to people who really want to know it. You understand what I'm saying? And this is the problem. Who today is truly seeking the truth of God? Who is really seeking the truth of God? Who's willing to part with his religious traditions? Who's really willing to part with his preconceived notions? We're all brought up in some denomination. We're born to parents who are this or that or the other, and so we just follow what they've always held to and our great-grandfathers and this sort of thing, you know, and it's just sort of a rut with both ends knocked out, and we just stay in that rut. Who's willing to be done with his religious traditions and his preconceived notions and his wisdom of the flesh and be done with his religious experiences and professions and works and come to the Word of God as a little child, willing and ready to be taught of God? Who's willing? That's what Christ said. If any man will to know God's will, he'll know it. Now, those are the two things. They said, how does this fellow know? He's never studied. He's never been in our institutions. He's never been in our program. He's never been under our supervisors. He's never been taught by... No, he's been taught of God. And if a man wills and really desires to know the truth, he'll know it. Well, here's a question. Someone may say, well, preacher, while you're on that subject and talking about somebody who really wants to know the truth, what would you say are the characteristics of a person who truly wills and desires to know the will of God? What do you think are the true signs? What do you look for when you're preaching or teaching or witnessing or trying to help someone with the gospel, with the truth of God? What signs do you look for which reveal that a man is sincere, really sincere, a person's really honest before God? Well, I'll give you several. Listen to me. I believe a person, now our Lord said, if any man wills, truly desires to know God, he'll know Him. If he desires to know the truth. I'd say the first sign is this, the first characteristic is this. That person, man or woman, young person, who truly wants to know God is sincerely, genuinely seeking the Lord Himself. He's not seeking an experience. He's not seeking just a good friendly church. He's not just seeking some doctrine that he thinks is strong enough. He wants to know God. There's where it starts. The Scripture says this, "You shall seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." What's the one word there that's used over and over again, the prominent word in that Scripture? You shall seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. That's, I want to know God, eternal life, to know God. Not just to know about God, it's to know God. David said, "As the thirsty deer panteth for the water brooks, my soul panteth for Thee, the only true God." David wanted to know God. "Ye shall seek Me," he said. And this is what Paul said. "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." Most people are concerned about the right discipline or doctrine or church or ordinances or form or ceremony? Do you kneel or do you stand? Do you come on Sunday morning or Saturday night? Or do you pay 10% or what do you do? This sort of thing has nothing to do with it. Oh, that I may know Him, Paul said, and the power of His resurrection. When he gave his testimony, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Salvation is a person, not an experience, a walk in an aisle, or a feeling, or a vision, or a positive mental attitude, or emotional experience. It's knowing God daily, knowing God, seeking God. Here's the second characteristic of a person who really seeking the Lord, who really desires to know God and the truth of God. I say this, he always has before him the value of his soul. That's right. He always has before him the value of his soul. You see, it's of greatest importance that I know God. For what shall it profit me if I gain the whole world and lose my soul? I've got to know God. It's appointed unto me and once to die, and after that, that's what I'm concerned about, after that. It's not just death I'm apprehensive about, it's after that. It's appointed unto me and once to die, and after that. What are you going to do about after that? After that, the judgment. After that, eternity. After that, either glory or damnation. After that, either comfort or condemnation. Now, well, that's the problem. Shall I seek the approval of men and be rejected of God? I'd be a fool. Shall I seek the riches of the world and lose eternal riches? I'd be a fool. Shall I seek acceptance here, approval here, and when I stand after that and hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you, I'd be a fool. No, I have one eternal soul that shall spend eternity somewhere. And that's the main reason that I'm interested in knowing God. Is it well with your soul? That person who's seeking God always has this in his mind, the value of his soul. Thirdly, I believe one who truly desires to know God is aware of his sins. I really do. I believe that every person, this is the sin question. I hear people say, it's no more the sin question. Oh, yes, it is too. It's the sin question. And anybody who truly desires to know God is aware of his sins before God, before the holiness of God. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. The Bible says if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word's not in us. David was aware of his sins. He said, my sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Paul declared. All we like sheep have gone astray. Our Lord told about two men who went down to the temple to pray. I suppose you might say they were seeking God. They both went to the temple and they both went to pray. But one of them prayed this way, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. I'm not a sinner. But the other man would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Christ said that man went home justified, the other man condemned. So it is a sin question, isn't it? What are we going to do about our sins? How will sin be put away? Who's going to cleanse us from sin? I believe a person who really wants to know the truth of God, wants to know the truth of God, he wants to know God, he wants to know the truth of God because of the value of his soul, and because of his sins, he knows that his sins are between him and God. He wants to know that those sins are forgiven. Fourthly, One who truly desires to know God is aware of this fact too. Not only that he's a sinner, but he's aware of the fact that he is not and cannot and will not be able to come to God on his own merit. Wouldn't you say that? In other words, this person knows he's a sinner, and he knows that he cannot come to God, who is holy and righteous, on his own merit. He's got to have help. He's got to have a Savior. He's got to have a substitute. He's got to have a mediator. That's what the publican prayed in the temple. He said, Lord, let thy blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. You see, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I can't honor God. I can't please God. In the flesh, no man can please God, the Scripture said. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He hath saved us. So, the man who truly wants to know the will of God knows this, that he cannot satisfy the righteousness of God. He cannot, by his own merit or power or works or righteousness, make himself acceptable to God. He's got to have a mediator, someone between him and God, someone who is God and man, someone who can take hold of God and be accepted and take hold of him and bring him to God. That's what it said about Christ in 1 Peter. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Bring us to God. Now, whom shall it be? Can a ransom be found? Can a righteousness be found? Can a substitute be found? I tell you this, it must be one whom God hath appointed. We're the offender, not God. It can't be one of our choice. It's got to be one of His choice. Secondly, it must be one who has a suitable sacrifice, one who has somewhat to offer, Paul said. A suitable sacrifice. One, a sacrifice, a righteousness with which God will be pleased. He's got to have that. And then thirdly, it's got to be one who has a perfect life. And then it's got to be one who can honor the law and justice on our behalf. It's got to be one who can die for us and yet live again. It must be a faithful high priest and a mediator. And such a one and only one is Christ our Lord. You see that? So the man who wills to know God's will, he seeks the Lord. And he seeks the Lord earnestly because he knows the value of his soul. And he seeks the Lord as a humble sinner. He knows, like David, who is man that thou art mindful of him. And he knows he cannot come alone. He knows he has nothing to bring. In my hands no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. He knows he has nothing that with which God can be in agreement. He can't please God. So someone's got to come before him. Someone's got to come bringing him to God. Someone whom God will accept. Someone who has a sacrifice with which God will be pleased. Someone who can fully atone. And that one's Christ. And then I'll tell you this, one who truly desires to know God will be willing to be saved on God's terms. Now listen, on God's terms. You see, this was the problem Naaman had. He had leprosy. He wanted to be cleansed, but he wanted to be cleansed on his terms. The prophet of God told him what to do. And he answered in this vein, well, I thought you'd do this. That's not the way that I'd do it. And that was the Pharisees' problem. They wouldn't submit to the baptism of repentance. They didn't believe that they were sinners who deserved death. The rich young ruler, he wouldn't do what Christ told him to do. He wouldn't part with the world and follow Christ. And this is what I'm saying. If a person really wills to know the will of God, he'll be willing to be saved on God's terms. God dictates the terms, not us. And those terms are repentance toward God and faith in Christ Jesus. The scripture says in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, to the Lord's ways, to the Lord's thoughts. And God will have mercy on him. Let him bow to our God, and God will abundantly pardon. So what we've got to be willing to do is forsake what we think, our thoughts, our ways, our own wills. You see, God must save men in a way consistent with his righteousness. God saves sinners in a way whereby he can be just and justifier. God saves sinners in the way that his wisdom and holiness is honored. You know, when the Lord took upon himself and counseled in eternity and purposed to save sinners, sure he took in consideration the fact that we were unable to do anything, unable to provide anything, unable to produce anything. But this was the main consideration. How can he, this born of woman, be clean? How can God be just and justify the ungodly? How can a man who's worthy of hell be taken to heaven? How can a man who's guilty be declared innocent? And only, you see, God has got to deal with sinners in a way that'll be consistent with his justice and his righteousness. One who truly desires to know God will bow not only to the will of God, but to the word of God. I hope that's helpful. If you want this message, write for it. It's entitled, Are You Willing to Be Saved? If you're willing, you will be. May God make you willing. Send $2. We'll mail you this tape and the one I'll preach next week. Here's the address. God bless you.